KRG.
Good afternoon. It's 3 p.m. You're listening to KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles. Cloudy currently, 78 degrees here on the campus of UL Lafayette. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the picture. Mostly cloudy. West winds at 5 miles per hour. A low this evening of around 54 degrees. Winds shifting to the north at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance of showers, 30% for Friday. Coming up at 4 o'clock, all things considered, from NPR News. We're going to begin the hour by heading straight into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
Joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon, I'm very happy to say, are Dr. Ian Beamish, who is an assistant professor of history here at UL Lafayette, and historian Lakeisha Simmons, who will be giving the keynote speech for Representing Enslavement, Louisiana's Past and the Present, a conference that Dr. Beamish has put together and will take place tomorrow. You were here not too long ago talking about the conference, and there's been a lot of interest in it since we spoke last, and I'm really delighted to hear that. And Dr. Simmons is here to give the keynote address that will be tonight in Griffin Hall. And it is the third annual Gilbo Lecture, in addition to being the keynote address for the conference. Dr. Simmons, you are a professor of history and women's studies at the University of Michigan. Your most recent book was Crescent City Girls, The Lives of Young Black Women in Segregated New Orleans, which won a prize, really nice prize in history, and so congratulations on that. The talk you'll be giving tonight is entitled Black Women's Memories, Monuments, History, and Louisiana Sugarcane Plantations of Beyoncé's Lemonade. That's at 6 o'clock tonight. There's a lot to be interested in the title of your talk there, and we're going to talk a little more specifically about it in a moment. But let's recap the conference and why you wanted to put together this conference and why you specifically invited Dr. Simmons to come to give the address.
Absolutely. We're really excited to have the conference so close. And I think one of the reasons we wanted to host this conference in the Department of History was just that we didn't see a lot about representations of slavery in this region in our public museums and places and so on. And we thought that it would be a good opportunity to bring together a bunch of scholars, experts, and artists from around the state and around the country to help bring some sort of the leading interpretations of the topic to this region.
Well, what was interesting the last time we spoke was that you expressed not only the desire to bring these experts in, but to really start a conversation, that you didn't just want an imposition of scholarship and artistry, but that you wanted to hear from the people of this area as well, and you wanted them to interact with these people coming from around the country.
Absolutely. I think we're hoping that this will be set up a little bit differently from some academic conferences and really draw in some of the public. After tonight's keynote, the rest of the conference will be held off campus to make it more accessible. I know parking can be very difficult for people who are not university affiliated here. So we're hoping to bring in people. And after each of our talks and our panels tomorrow, along with Dr. Simmons's talk this evening, there will be plenty of time for audience sort of questions, discussion, and so on. And we hope it serves as kind of a starting point.
All right. Well, Dr. Simmons, you have been working on Louisiana for quite a while now. You're not from Louisiana, and neither is Dr. Beamish. But it's so interesting how your work really, really looks at certain elements of Louisiana culture. You started off with culture in New Orleans, even though you'll be addressing other issues tonight. How did you get interested in your work?
Well, I started researching New Orleans when I was an undergraduate. I was at the University of Virginia, and I got funding to go on a research trip wherever I wanted to go. And I was really interested in places where there was a mix of cultures and a kind of multiracial, multi-ethnic population. And New Orleans has the best archives. And so I came to New Orleans, and I could never leave.
You know, that's not an unusual story. People find themselves captured by New Orleans and Louisiana all the time. Well, the title of your book certainly brings in a lot of interesting subjects. Crescent City Girls, The Lives of Black Women in Segregated New Orleans. So you're looking back at a particular time in New Orleans. Tell us about that time.
So the book looks at New Orleans in 1930s and 1940s and follows a particular generation of black girls and tries to talk about what it was like to grow up black and a girl at that period of time. One of the things that I spent a lot of time doing was just imagining their roots on the city streets, how they lived in their neighborhoods, how they got from building to building. And so in a lot of ways, it's this kind of cultural urban history where you get a real portrait of the city, but also how black girls were moving in it in three dimensions.
And I mean, it's fascinating, I'm sure, just studying that particular time period, but it also brings to mind the amazing cultural fertility at that time that created so much that we think of as New Orleans today. The music, the food, the art, everything coming out of that time. And some of those girls would have definitely been a part of that ferment and that incredible cultural identity. So fascinating subject for that book. But your topic tonight is a little different, and an incredible title, Black Women's Memories, Monuments, History, and the Louisiana Sugar Plantations of Beyoncé's Lemonade. For those of us who don't watch music videos, can you tell us just a bit about that title and Beyoncé's Lemonade that really adds to your talk tonight?
Well, if you haven't seen Lemonade yet, you should watch it right away. It's wonderful. But I started working on Beyoncé actually after Lemonade because of Lemonade is this visual album. So it's a short film in a way and an album at the
same
time.
More than just a music video.
Right. It's an hour long. So sit down, get some popcorn. But I saw it and it takes place in Louisiana. The scene, the setting is Louisiana. And she dropped it at the middle of the night on HBO. And everybody was talking about it. And there's this really important scene in Lemonade where Beyoncé and a whole bunch of young women are sitting on a front porch. And a ton of people start talking about the Southern front porch and how important the French front porch is. And I was like, wait a minute, that's not just any front porch. That's a slave quarter. That's a slave cabin. And people aren't seeing this. And so I wrote a little blog post about it. And I've been a little bit obsessed with Beyoncé ever since.
Wow, in the middle of the night, all this happened.
Oh, it was literally the middle of the night. I was on my computer kind of – I was like, I know that place. I've been there before, but I didn't know which plantation it was. And so I was going through my old photos looking for the – and my husband was like, what are you doing?
And did you find that exact porch?
I did. And he said, nobody – no black women – because – a lot of black women were obsessed with Lemonade. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be sleeping for the next week.
And especially young scholars like yourself who were obsessed with details like that. So how did it inform your scholarship from that point? What were you hoping to help us understand? Because that's what you do as a scholar, is you help illuminate things. You help people understand and amalgamate things they might not have thought to do themselves.
Well, my work on New Orleans and black girlhood was a lot about place. What is it like? What is a black feminist sense of place? What does it mean to be rooted in a spot like the city of New Orleans? And what I saw in Lemonade was that same kind of discussion going on. And that's what made me really excited. And so I wanted for people to see, especially people outside of Louisiana, but I wanted people to see that this video was rooted in a place for a reason. And that it made certain kinds of arguments about what does it mean to be a black woman in Louisiana, in the American South? What does it mean to remember these spaces, to remember that that's not just a porch, that it's a slave cabin, right? And so that's what I got really interested in. Although the video album is so rich, there's so many things that you could talk about.
Mm-hmm. But you did want to make sure that people knew that this wasn't just fantasy. A lot of music videos do have that element and that feeling that it's just kind of made up, but that this was not, and that was very central to what she was expressing.
Yeah, and I think it's this mix between the fantasy and the history, the reality. And the conversation happens in between, in that in-between space.
Well, that's true, because there is a lot of fantasy about Louisiana history, and we have made up a lot, and literature and film doesn't help.
Yes.
But it's interesting that you – I mean, I can understand absolutely why Dr. Beamish wanted to invite you here to talk about that, because those are conversations that we're hoping will happen at the conference, that we don't just – think of it as something in fantasy or film, but these are very real places. And, we do like to talk about porches and kind of the nice things about culture around here, but sometimes forget to remember that that porch was a slave cabin, or this particular place was a slave cemetery, or wherever it was. So that makes it, that brings it to a very real place, as you said. So in your talk, what kinds of points will you be making that will hopefully help ground us in that?
Well, I'll be talking a lot more about exactly what you just said. I think there's this, what I consider a Black feminist sense of place has to do with sight and vision. So how can we see those places that are often invisible? And so I'm going to talk about how artists like Beyoncé do that at the site of sugar plantations.
Mm-hmm. And so that we don't just – because all of us have been down probably River Road and seen a lot of plantations. And there's often a slave house or two, but it becomes a part of that pretty landscape, and people don't think about that. I know we've been helped, and I believe that Dr. Ibrahim Asek will be at the conference tomorrow, that we have a plantation that is now a museum dedicated to slavery. And I think that has started that conversation and helped many of us to see more in the plantations. And it sounds like your talk will be helping us do that as well. So what have you, where have you done your research? I mean, obviously you spent time in New Orleans for your first book, but for this one, you probably did more than just watch Beyoncé's video over and over again. So where did you go to do some of your research?
I have to tell you, I did watch it a lot over and over again. And one interesting thing I'll just note is there's this new book coming out, and it started as this seminar. It was on Lemonade. And a bunch of scholars from across the country got together at the University of Michigan. And the book is called The Lemonade Reader. It's edited by Kenitra Books and Camila Martin. And I think it comes out in May. But it was really an important experience for me in my own work, because there were scholars of religious history. There were scholars of Louisiana. There was art historians, ethnomusicologists, a little bit of everybody. And we came and for an entire weekend talked about Lemonade and watched it together. And it was an amazing experience, because we realized that the film isn't just about Beyoncé. These are much larger issues.
Do you think she knows that? I mean, she knows how much money she's made off of the music and how popular and how much people love that. Do you think she understands this more academic, scholarly element that's been percolating since it came out at midnight?
I think she has a HBO documentary. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the whole thing, I must admit. But I've heard that she has an archive where she collects things. You know, Prince has an archive, too. So it's not that odd, but
so like articles, you mean, and scholarly?
Yeah, I think she knows what's going on. Yeah.
Oh, what an amazing thing! You know, because sometimes things like that don't happen until much later in a person's life, or people start thinking, "Oh, well, this person's interesting." But this started happening immediately after, as you said, the drop at midnight of this video, and young people like yourself, young scholars like yourself, immediately begin seeing the ramifications of what that was about. If you are just tuning in and finding yourself very interested by what you're hearing, my guests are Dr. Lakeisha Simmons, who is a professor of history in history and women's studies at the University of Michigan, and Dr. Ian Beamish, who is a history professor here at UL Lafayette and has put together the conference taking place tomorrow, Representing Enslavement, Louisiana's Past in the Present. The keynote address and the annual Gilbo lecture will be given by Dr. Lakeisha Tisha Simmons tonight, 6 o'clock in Griffin Hall. That will be in the auditorium. So there's lots of space. And I know you mentioned parking, but there is a big parking garage not too far from Griffin Hall. Mm-hmm. So you can park in there and walk over to Griffin. It's just one building over. So pretty easy to get to. 6 o'clock this evening. Everyone's invited to attend. You don't need to register like you did for the conference.
Absolutely not.
So anyone interested in the topic, the video, history in Louisiana, black feminism, whatever you would find interesting, you are welcome to attend and go to Griffin this evening. So what has been the response to your work, the first book, this work that you've been, what have your students and other people said about this?
My students love Beyoncé. And people keep asking me to write about Beyoncé. So I
specifically about her.
Yes. So I find myself becoming a Beyoncé scholar accidentally.
Well, that's really interesting.
But so the reaction has been great, and so I've been working on this on the ways in which Lemonade thinks about Louisiana history. But I have also been actually writing about the ways in which Beyoncé's work thinks about the issue of black women and maternal health. So miscarriage, stillbirths, things like that, which is another theme that's actually in Lemonade and also in her husband's album 444. We'll just call him her husband.
I can see why a whole field of studies is being generated by their music. But that is fascinating that pop culture can so quickly become a part of academic study, and for excellent reasons. Again, back to that sense that you all help to illuminate for us things like artists do that we wouldn't have put together ourselves. So that is fascinating and utterly useful to us. And again, that it's happening so quickly. And I think technology helps us do that these days. Yeah. So tell us more about, you can obviously be addressing the video, Beyoncé and other issues. But how does the history of Louisiana sugar plantations come into your talk this evening? How will you be addressing that wider issue? Because that will lead directly to some of the topics tomorrow in the conference.
So one of the things I'm really interested in is the way that we tell history, the sources that we use to tell history, and our archives, where we find the evidence for history. And one of the things that I think Lemonade does is it opens up this space for us to reimagine the archive. And part of what I try to do in my work is put Lemonade in conversation with some archival materials, with photographs, so that we can understand the past, the ways in which the past and the future meet.
Perfect. That goes right along with the title of the conference. So when you talk about the archival material that you present side by side, are these photographs, are these records? What are you presenting? What kind of archival material? Are you stories?
Some of them. So one of the things that I really use is oral history interviews that were done during the 1930s and the 1940s with formerly enslaved women. So I juxtapose those with Lemonade, with some of the text from Lemonade and the images from Lemonade, as well as other artists' work that look at slave quarters, slave cabins, and black femininity.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned those interviews, because I was just reading about that. That had a lot to do with Roosevelt and his desire to employ people, and sent people out to do those kinds of oral interviews. And there was a huge trove of interviews done with the former slaves, and how fortunate that we have those oral histories for scholars like yourself to use. So what are you finding that is, I guess, most interesting to you personally, both as a woman, as a scholar, having delved into this topic and done your research and seen this video over and over again? What has become most important to you?
Oh, my gosh, that's such a hard question, and I think it changes. I was just watching it
again.
Before the talk, I thought I should watch it again. And you know, my favorite scene, I think, is shifting and changing. And one of the things that comes to me now when I watch it is the ways in which the video tries to bring into the conversation our ancestors who were enslaved. mm-hmm. and kind of conjure them into the present. And so that there's this scene where she goes, there's like this conjuring that's happening. And then she goes, magic. And then a little baby is born. And so that's like that image of the ancestors of the past who are always with us and a part of us. And also the future, like the promise of the future. Mm. So I think right now, and I'm also working on another project on Black motherhood. So I think that's why that's in my head, mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. that being a mother and things like that, it's something that you think about. You think about the women of the past, your own mother, your grandmother, and, you know, your daughter, or in my case, my daughter, but, mm-hmm. you know, your little daughter. So to me, that scene right there means so much.
Well, and I don't know if you've been to the Whitney Plantation, but I think that's one of the things they try to do there is to bring that that conjuring of real people, and that these were children, that these were babies born there and who died there, and there, if you want to call it magic, that sounds very positive, but the ability, with the help of scholars like yourself and Dr. Ibrahim Asek, to make that real. That's a conjuring. That's a conjuring through scholarship, through technology, through art, and it helps all of us to remember that and honor it, even if it's not a part of our immediate experience.
Yeah, so. And I think at the Whitney Plantation, one of the things that happens is this combination of space, land, and landscape, and art that all work together to do that.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're, again, through scholarship with young people like yourself. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Dr. Lakeisha Simmons, who will be giving the keynote address and the Gilbo Lecture, annual Gilbo Lecture in History, this evening in Griffin Hall. The title of her talk is Black Women's Memories, Monuments, History, and the Louisiana Sugar Plantations of Beyoncé's Lemonade. It sounds like, how did you think about Black women's memories before Lemonade? I mean, you were doing research in New Orleans, but this sounds like you caught fire with that particular video movie, in mm-hmm. essence. Where did you go for inspiration before for that kind of magic and conjuring?
You know, I think it actually has changed the way I think a lot. Before, the main way I thought about memories was through oral history. And so for my first book, I did a ton of oral histories. I also used a lot of oral histories that were done in the past, so some that were collected in the 1970s, some that were collected in the 1990s. And I've worked a lot with oral histories. As I mentioned before, the WPA narratives of formerly enslaved people, I've read hundreds and hundreds of those interviews. But I think the thing that Lemonade did for me was make memory really visual. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing that it does is help us think about how places hold memories.
You have given us so much to think about, and I don't even think I need to ask Dr. Beamish why he invited you, because I think it is so evident, and I think people are already inspired listening to what you have to say and in awe of what young scholars are doing, both Dr. Beamish and yourself, in these fields and making it available to all of us, not just staying in your offices in the ivory halls, but making these things available both in conferences, talks, videos, and so many different ways. And I know that that's a real focus of the department here and the Gilbo Center. Public history is so important, and all the ways that we can be made aware of history. So it's wonderful to have you here on our campus. Again, if you would like to hear more of what Dr. Simmons has been working on and her thoughts about this, you can attend the talk tonight, 6 o'clock in Griffin Hall. It's in the auditorium that's on the first floor of Griffin, which is on the corner of Rex and Lewis Street. There is a parking garage that you access on Girard Park Drive, I think is the best way to get there. So there is parking available, and you can attend at 6 o'clock. I think you said there will be a question and answer period afterwards.
Yeah,
I promise I won't go too long.
I think people will want to be discussing your talk with you. Will you be here for the conference as well?
I will. I'm looking forward to it.
And are you going to be giving a presentation during the conference, or just there
this
attending?
Is her.
This is her presentation. Okay.
Yeah.
But you will
We're
be there.
Do it twice.
And And I know that you're hoping there will be lots of discussion at the conference. You mentioned that there are just a handful of places left at the conference, and maybe not even anymore.
When we started the interview, we had 5 tickets left out of 200. So okay. Snap them up if you want. Well, they're all free.
That is a great credit to your planning and the people that you have brought to the conference. And if you could just remind us who will be at the conference tomorrow.
We have a wonderful lineup of speakers who I hope will reflect some of the things that Dr. Simmons is talking about in terms of bringing together fields that maybe aren't traditionally history. So we do have another academic historian, Jonathan Earle from LSU, and he'll be talking on a panel with Jessica Tilson about Georgetown University's efforts to address their actions in the 1830s. And he'll be talking a little bit about the history behind that and some work he and his students have done with descendant groups. And Jessica Tilson will be speaking from the perspective of descendant groups herself. And in addition, we have an artist we're all very excited about, Dred Scott, who's coming in, and he's organizing a public project, a reenactment of the 1811 uprising, which was the largest uprising of enslaved people in the history of the United States.
And it took place in Louisiana.
Yeah, not far from here, south of Baton Rouge, but towards New Orleans. And we have Freddie Williams Evans, who's a wonderful scholar and children's book author as well, who did a huge amount of work to get the city of New Orleans to recognize Congo Square. And we, in addition to that, have a panel where we're trying to think about ways that these things could be brought to publics. So we have Phoebe Hayes, who's the president and founder of the Iberia African American Historical Society and has done a lot of work at the local level. Along with Daphne Thomas, an artist and educator who has also done similar things. We have Robin McDowell coming in from Harvard's History Design Studio, who's done a lot of work trying to make history accessible to the public through the internet, online. And then, of course, we have Ibrahim Asek from Whitney Plantation and Leon Waters from Hidden History Tours, who've both done a lot of work interpreting the history of the 1811 uprising.
An astonishing collection of scholars and artists from around the country. That is Representing Enslavement, Louisiana's Past and the Present, a conference put together by my guest, Dr. Ian Beamish. And Dr. Lakeisha Simmons is giving the keynote speech tonight for the conference, 6 o'clock in Griffin Hall, room 147, and we'll be at the conference tomorrow. So those who have registered will have an opportunity tomorrow to talk with her as well. Thank you both for helping to illuminate further this fascinating state that we have here, Louisiana, and particularly talking about things that have just sort of faded into the landscape, perhaps, or looked a little bit too pretty, or we didn't think about enough. So we appreciate all of that. And we hope that there are many more conferences to come, Dr. Beamish, and or more opportunities for us to interact and converse about these topics. Thank you so much, Dr. Simmons, for being here. We hope you have a good time in Lafayette.
And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we'll look forward to the talk tonight again, 6 o'clock in Griffin. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Okie dokie.